I like that. Amen. Whatever your problem is, that mountain that looks like it's in front of you and me and looks like a real problem, God said, I'll just level it out. Make it a plain. I like that. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. He said the headstone. He laid the foundation stone. He's going to lay the headstone. He's going to finish it up. And God's making a promise there. And then they're going to cry, grace, grace. I read that a lot of times, but never had it dawned on me. They're crying, grace, grace. It's by the grace of God we get anything done. Grace of God, amen. Unmerited favor of God that's given to us. I say hallelujah for grace, grace, grace. And when they finish it up, the temple, they're going to cry, grace, grace here. And moreover, in verse number 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel that have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. Now, that's an angel there speaking, which I believe to be a theophany or an appearance of the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate time of the Lord Jesus appearing here to him. And he came and said, Zerubbabel is going to finish this up. He started it. We sent him to do a work. He's going to finish it. I'm encouraged by that because I know that it's talking directly to Israel. Now, in context of what we're going to say tonight, it's in talking to Israel, and that God called them to be a light to the world, really, and they had failed in many ways of that. But he said, I started them out as being my people, and I'm going to finish it up. And you can rest assured tonight that Israel will finish up as God's people. And they will be on this earth. They will be a people of this earth. They will be a nation on the earth. And they will be a nation for which all nations shall look. That will happen. You can mark it down. God said it would. And here he's using Zerubbabel as a picture of this. But let me say to you just a word about the church. Jesus started it. He's going to finish it. He laid the foundation. He is the foundation of it. And when the headstone is finished up and laid, he'll cry. We'll all cry, grace, grace, because we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And so he'll cry that. And it'll be finished up. The start and the finish is going to happen. I'm coming tonight, though. I'm thinking about this. In verse number 6, here's where we're coming to. In verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying. And then he begins to talk about not by might. Now we're going to look at the negative part, then we're going to look at the positive part, and then see the authority. But the negative is, it said, not by might nor by power. Now this word might here is in studying the word and getting down to the root of it means not by a multitude. It's not by a multitude of numbers is not what I'm looking for. God's saying that's not going to be the reason why the temple will be finished. We think sometimes if we have the multitudes of people, then that'll get the job done. But that's not true. It's not, he said, I'm not looking for the might. The multitude of the people said, that's not what I'm looking for. And power, if you study the root word of that word that we use here in Scripture, it comes down to the might of a man. And the Antichrist is going to cry that to be that might, and he's going to cry to be that, but God said, that's not what I'm looking for. It's not some one man that's got the power. He's telling Zerubbabel, you don't have the power to do it. He's saying, it's not you. It's not some other man I'm going to send by. It's not Zechariah. It's not Jeshua. It's not somebody else. He's going to tell him that. And the negative part of this, but I want you to look with me, please, in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 11. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14 and verse number 11. Asa now is facing the Ethiopians here. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, is it nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power? Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopian before Asa. Here he's saying, crying to God and said, it's not by many. Said that with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. I remember the story of Gideon. You remember Gideon had his number and whittled them down and started out a great number of thousands and 10,000 and got on down to he got to 300. He said, with these I'll deliver thee. And so it's not the multitude. And 1 Samuel chapter number 11 and verse number 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised, talking about the Philistines. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I like that, amen. And sometimes we get discouraged because of the number, and sometimes we get hurt by the number and get discouraged, and I've known preachers that quit because of the number and all that kind of thing. I'd love to see the building field overflowing. We've talked about that, but it's not in that. That's the negative part. It's not in that. But the positive part, here's what I want to get to. In verse number 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. But by my spirit. I want to talk about real power. And the negative is not by the multitude. It's not by some man. It's not by some preacher. It's not by some singer. It's not by some body that shows up with has a lot of charisma about it. That's not going to be it. What's going to really count is God. God is the only one that can really help us. And he's not restrained by number or by some man, whoever the man is. He said he chose the weak things to confound the wise. He chose foolish things. He even chose the foolish of preaching. And to the world, this is foolish what I'm doing tonight. But God chose it by that he would send forth his message. Now, look back in verse number 2 and 3. This caught my interest as I studied about this Spirit of God and thinking about it. All of us that are saved have the Spirit of God abiding within us, and I praise God for that truth. But look at verse number 2 and 3 of our text. And said unto me, and the angel, now back in verse 1, the angel talked with him, waked him up, and said, wake up now. I believe that could be a message in itself. We need to wake up. And the Bible says now it's time and high time that we wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Hey, Jesus is coming back. And maybe tonight, maybe next week. Wouldn't it be good during Jubilee, Jesus come? Amen. Be in a great service and Jesus just come, show up, and take us out of here. I say hallelujah. It may happen. I don't know. It may happen before Jubilee gets here, but he is going to come back. And here in verse number 2. And said unto me, what seest thou? I said, I've looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and seven lamps thereup, seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon thereup. If you look in verse number 11 down through there, it talks about more about that. But here he said, I see a lampstand. And looking probably on the line of what was in the holy place of the temple of the tabernacle. And he sees that lampstand, says it's got a bowl over top of it, and maybe in the back, but higher than it. It's got pipes running down to it, and it's got oil in it. And said, then beside that is two olive trees standing beside of it. And I got to thinking about that, and I praise God for the reality of he, the Holy Spirit, that lives within me. And he is there. And I got to think about that bowl filled up with oil. And you know why it's filled with oil? So it never run out down there. That oil is burning down there in that lampstand. Now, the wick down there wasn't worth a flip if it didn't have oil in it. I mean, you can take a wick and char the end of it and try to light it. You may get some kind of a brownish color on it. It may do something, but it won't give out light. But you put some oil in the lamp and let that oil soak up in that wick, and the oil get in there, and that wick gets saturated with oil, and there'll be some light start burning, and that pipe was piping it down there, so it just run in. I get in my mind's eye, I see that bowl full of oil and running down to that seven lamps, stand seven wicks and lamps burning there. And I say, whoo, hallelujah. I'm thinking now of my connection with him on high. And the Holy Spirit is the oil, by the way. And picture all through the Bible, oil pictures the Holy Spirit of God. And that piping it in, I believe the pipeline, we better keep it clean, amen. And keep it open so the oil can flow free. And sin will separate and iniquity will separate. And stop it up and the oil quit flowing right. But oh, praise God. Like tonight when you get in here and get to singing and somebody gets to testifying and raising their hands and praising God, the oils are flowing free. But if you get to preaching on certain things sometime, some boom, and it gets stopped up. Need some help, amen. And sometimes it's a preacher, sometimes it's a people, and sometimes it's both. Amen. But I like it when it's open, amen. I like it when I feel that touch of God. I like it when I know the oil's flowing freely in my life. I like it when it's flowing freely in your life. What I'm trying to say to you, we all need it, amen. We all need a free flow of the oil in our lives, because it's not, he said, Zerubbabel, it's not you that's going to give the light. It's not you that's going to put that light in that temple you're building. You're not even going to be able to build a temple without me. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so tonight, I recognize the fact is the Spirit of God that we need more than we need anything else in the world. It is the Spirit of God. I appreciate the preachers that are coming. I appreciate the singers that will be here singing. I appreciate all that, but oh, praise God. I appreciate he, the Holy Ghost of God, when he moves in my heart, whether I'm sitting there, standing here, sitting down there, or wherever it be, that God moves in power, God moves and stirs, and you know there's a pipeline open and God doing something. I say hallelujah for the Spirit and the power of God to have his way in the work in our hearts. Amen. Thank God for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's exactly right. Somebody plants, somebody waters, but God gives the increase. I want you to look with me, please, in the 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 4 and 5. Listen to what it says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse number 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I say hallelujah. I'm glad my weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And when the Holy Spirit of God's working in your life, he's mighty. And when that Spirit's iron oils are flowing, that's mighty. And when the burning, the light can shine, light will shine, and people can see and want to come. And I praise God and thank him for the reality of that and the authority that behind all this. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this tonight. Just a thought God gave me. He said, by my spirit. And I say, hallelujah, thank God for the Spirit of God and the power of God. As we come to Jubilee, as we near Sunday, getting ready and getting into Jubilee, and Brother Mike Holcomb coming, then the preachers coming, singers coming, all of that's happening. I want us to be ready spiritually. I don't want us to have the pipeline stopped up. I don't want us to be in a situation where that we're not ready for God to do something in our life. I don't want to come in and it be dark in my heart. I don't want to come in, it be dark around us spiritually. I want the light to be burning bright. I want you and me to be on fire for God when they get here. I want us to be so stirred as a church, as a people of God. And I've been preaching on this, and I believe it in my heart that the church must be ready when we have meeting. And so tonight, and prayer meeting night, and I'm talking not by might, not by power, not by multitude, not because a lot of preachers come, not because a crowd shows up, not because somebody's a preacher, but because of the Spirit and the power of God. God will do something in our hearts. We'll do something in our services, and I believe that we'll see God manifest himself and see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I stand here tonight, and as far as physically, the day has been a rough day for me. But spiritually, I am blessed beyond measure. I am thankful to God for this scripture. I am thankful God has helped us look into it and see it, that that is not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I guess one thing that helped me today is the fact I felt so bad. I didn't feel like getting up out of a chair. I didn't feel like doing anything. But I thought my soul and spirit of God can work no matter how I feel. Amen. It's not depending on me. It's depending on him. And I'm going to church tonight, and I'm going to look for God to do something and believe God for it. Amen. And I'm feeling better already. And I thank God for the reality of it. But now, I want you to know the authority behind all this. He said, not by might, nor power, nor my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's the power behind it. The Lord of hosts said it. God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not. And whether I believe it or not, it settles it. I've seen that sign say it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's settled whether you believe it or not. I believe it or not. It's still settled forever in heaven. I say he's the power behind it. He's the authority behind it. Hallelujah. Remember when Ezekiel got out there in that valley of dry bones? Wasn't nothing but dry bones. And God said, prophesy. He said, preach to him. And Ezekiel started preaching. And as he preached, something happened. Hallelujah. And I imagine when he first walked up there and looked at that crowd, he thought there's no hope here. Ain't no hope in this crowd. They're all dead. Fact is, dried up, nothing but bones. And after a while, he got to preaching, and bone got to rattling. And bone got to, okay, I can see that valley now, and I love to preach about it. Because I can see that leg bone whacking into that knee bone, and that knee bone whacking in that leg bone, getting in the hip bone, and coming on up. I'd sing that song if I could tonight. Praise God, don't that do something for you? He got to preaching, and he said, can he live? He said, Lord God, thou knowest. He said, prophesy. He said, keep on preaching. He just kept on preaching. Brother Brady, sometimes you just have to keep on preaching. And just kept on preaching. After a while, they some flesh started coming. And skin got on them. And they he looked out there at that crowd. They're looking better. They're looking better, but no life in them. They're still dead. Ain't no life in them. He said, Lord, and the Lord asked him, can they live? You know, Lord. He said, prophesy. Kept on preaching. After a while, there came a wind. Hallelujah. That's what I'm looking for in Jubilee. That breeze come through and breathed on us and said, it stood up a mighty army. Hallelujah. Brother Bray just sung the song, I'm a soldier. Hallelujah. We ought to be a mighty army for God. And amen. And now, until Jubilee time, and Jubilee come be a mighty army for God. Jubilee's over. Still a mighty army for God. And still going great for him. Amen. Praise God. Samson. When Samson doing his exploits, he took a jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 Philistines one day. Hey, you know how he did that? It wasn't just because he was a Nazarite. The Bible said because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he did that. I'm glad for the Spirit of the Lord can come, and he'll do something for us. I want you to turn back in the book of Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, all of them during this time. Period. Look in verse number 3 of chapter 2 of Haggai. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Now this is talking about this temple they're building. Said now, what we're building now, y'all that saw the first temple, Solomon's temple, saw the glory of it, said it looks like it's nothing. But yet, verse 4, yet now be strong. O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Look in verse number 10 of chapter 4 I read. For who hath despised a day of small things? It may have not have been the temple that Solomon's temple was, but it's still going to be a light in that place. It's still going to be what God wanted to do. It's still going to be what God wanted. Hallelujah. It's not in the building. It's not in that stuff. He's trying to get them to see it's more important than the splendor and spectacular part of the greatness of that temple of Solomon, the gold and all that. It's the heart of the people that's really important. I'd rather sit on middle chairs and have God around than have Patty Pews and be dead. And that's why we sang that song when we came in this building, he'll do it again. Because one thing that I feared coming in this building was we'd get in a big building and dry up. We didn't. Thank God we didn't. Now we've been through some valleys. We've been on some mountaintops. And that's the way it goes. But I want you to know we're still going. Amen. And we're still shouting victory.
Amen.
And we're still heading the right direction.
Amen.
And I'm still looking for Jubilee. I'm still looking for God tonight.
Amen. Praise
to
God.
Help us. Amen. Praise God, son. I'm happy in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Blake, whether they know what's wrong or not, God does. He's a great God, and he's got it under control. Everything's fine. Everything's on time. And I'll be honest with you. I get nervous before meetings like this. I also get excited. And I am getting excited. I got a hunger inside of me that I'm excited about what God's doing. And I got in this scripture, and God just said, it's going to be all right because it's all in my spirit. It's by my power. You just let me. So I'm going to just let him. Let's stand our feet, please. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm not going to prolong an invitation. I just try to share my heart with you and pray you take it home with you tonight. But you may want to come and pray and just say, Lord, help me make sure my pipes are open so that the Holy Spirit flow in that vessel, flow through it, and that light would shine. Some folk are praying. If you need to come bow and pray, you come on.